Arizona. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Working Group call on the 24th of October, 2016 at 20 UTC. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room, so if you're only on the audio bridge, if you could please let yourself be known now. All right, thank you. And also as a reminder to all participants,
this is JJ Levine. I'm on audio only.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. We'll note that. Okay. And as a reminder to all, to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn the call back over to Avi Doria.
Very much. This is Avi Doria speaking. So today is a different sort of plenary meeting for the group in that we're not going to be working on the substance of our PDP, but we're going to be working on planning the upcoming meeting in Hyderabad. Though in doing that, we may indeed touch some substance. So what we'll basically, it's a simple agenda. We're going to go through this opening stuff. Then we'll do the SOIs. Then we'll talk about the meeting planning. And then if there's any other business, we'll cover that. At this point, I want to check, does anybody have any other business that they want to make sure is added to the end of the agenda at this point? Okay, I see no hands, so I will go ahead with this agenda, hearing no objections to this agenda. And I didn't ask that, so any objections? Still hearing none. Okay, so next to SOIs, this is just a reminder that everyone does need to update their SOI as necessary when their job and other circumstances change as it relates to this group, and we'd ask you to please know that in this time slot if you have done so. So does anybody have any SOI changes they want to mention to the group? Seeing no hands, hearing none, I'll move on to the ICANN 57 planning. What you'll see up in the frame in front of you is the first stab that we've taken among the leadership group in terms of putting together an agenda. Basically, it's a relatively straightforward one. We have what, about 3 hours? Is that correct, Steve or somebody? I'm forgetting exactly if Steve is typing. Closer to 4 hours. Okay, I know it's a four-hour period, but there's a break in the middle. So as long as we're disciplined about starting on time and coming back from break on time, we will actually have closer to four than to three. So one of the things that we haven't done yet is divide up time in this agenda. So we're going to walk through it, and I'm also going to bring up one item that's not on this agenda that I think may need to be there, but I'll put it out for question. So the first part, we'll start with a normal ICANN meeting, welcome and introductions. Now, one thing about this meeting that we'll state at that point is that's not a participant-only meeting. That's a meeting where participants, observers, and anyone that happens to come to the meeting will be given the floor. Don't plan to do any preference of participants first and then others. That would really be quite difficult to manage given the number of participants we have and observers we have. So basically, it will be an open discussion meeting on a first-come, first-served type of basis. For the most part, obviously, if one of the team leaders needs to answer a question, we have somebody's mic is open, then we'll obviously defer to a question answer. But by and large, it'll run on that, and there'll be no distinction about participants or not. We'll talk about the current status, which will largely be a recap of where we are on the overarching issues, the CC1 discussions, and I, Ms. Jeff, I'll come to you on this. I don't know if we plan to do any deeper discussion of it than just a status report. And so I was away for 2 weeks, so I'm not certain of what we decided in this spot, whether we were actually going a little deeper into some of the issues that we've uncovered and perhaps even some of the issues that have been, we think we're finding a first answer for. So I'll ask you first and then anyone else whether they've got a view on that. Please, Jeff.
Thanks. This is Jeff Newman for the transcript. So I think as part of the work track three, there's the topic of rounds. I'm hearing a bad echo here. Let's try again. Okay, that's better. So work track three is there's a topic on there, rounds versus a continuous first come, first serve process. As part of that, we cover the overall topic of rounds. But I think everything else we pretty much had public discussion on in Helsinki. I think that was the last place we were. So I don't think we need to go over the overall topics again unless anyone in the group thinks there's something particular we should cover this time.
Thank you, Jeff. Does anyone else have a viewpoint on that? Okay, fine. So we'll stick to basically a status update of where we're at on it, and we can open it to questions to see if there are any questions in the group, but we won't go down any of the issue topics that we have. Okay, then the next thing we have here is the work track-based discussion, but I wanted to ask a question before that. We, while we're there, we're going to be visiting the CCT and perhaps some of the rights protection mechanism groups, the RPMs. We've got liaisons for all those groups, and I'm wondering whether it would be worthwhile to ask our liaisons to those groups to just give us a brief update of where those groups are and of what they're doing in Hyderabad so that the group knows, especially on those things that connect to our discussion. So I'm wondering if people have an opinion on adding a new number three, which is basically update from liaisons to CCT and RPM. Jeff, the leaders, anybody on this group, does that seem like it's worth doing? Does that seem, and liaisons too, since some of you are on this group, is that something you're willing to do? I'd like to open it up if anybody's got a viewpoint. I see Ruben says he supports the idea. Karen Day says he thinks it will be good. Jeff, but we should keep it short. So, yeah, it would be no more than, you know, a five-minute maximum for each, and it probably wouldn't be that much, but 5 minutes is relatively short for a status and advertisement of meetings. Anyone think it's a bad idea and we shouldn't do it? Okay, so then I'd like to ask that a new number three be added before the work track, which is basically update from CCT and RPM liaison. Okay, then we'll go into the work track, which is the majority part of the meeting, and pretty much plan to take the time we've got beyond this. So I think that, you know, if we use, well, I don't even see us using a half hour on the first three, but assuming that we use a half hour on the first three, then we could take the following 3 hours and try and subdivide it relatively evenly between each of the work tracks. What we've asked each of the work track teams to do was to come up with two, I think we call them teaser questions, that relate to work that they're doing now, that are on issues that they've discussed somewhat, and felt that getting some early input from the wider group and the community would be a good thing. So that being the basis, I'd like to ask each of the work teams to basically do a quick description of their issues and open it up to questions after they've gone through their teaser questions to see if there are any questions on this. So from Work Team 1, who do I have that can speak to it? Not seeing a hand, not hearing a voice. Do we have one of the leaders from, let me look down the list and see if we have one of the leaders from Work Track 1. It's not on, we need to do it. Yes, we've got Sarah and we've got Krista. So both leaders are here. Can one of you please talk us through the Workstream 1 question? Thank you, Sarah. I see your hand.
Thanks, Aubrey. This is Sarah Bakke. Sorry, I was trying to get my audio to connect. Regarding the teaser questions for Work Track 1, I note that one of them is out of date, being the second one. But for the first one, our question was, what went wrong with the application support program in the 2012 round, and is there still a need for such a program? I see in the chat that Krista is here, but she just doesn't have a voice. So that question is just to sort of help spur our conversation regarding the applicant support program. Krista and I have still been trying to get a meeting scheduled with some of the folks from that previous working group. And so we're just looking for input on that. And then the second question needs to be updated to read from RSP accreditation to third-party certifier, what is the most effective method to meet the needs of RSP, registry, and registrar? This change was made after we got Donna's proposal for a way forward for some sort of program. So after giving some review to what she had submitted, we thought it might be a good starting point for us to have a conversation and sort of take that as a proposal and sort of flesh it out and see what kind of progress we can make based off of her proposal. And so those are our two teaser questions and the items that we're trying to address at the moment. And that is all that I have. Any questions? Comments,
yeah,
feedback.
Yeah, thank you. Any hands? I see Kurt on question 2. Should we include registrants or users? You want to? Okay, Jeff, I see your hand. Please go ahead.
Yeah, let's. This is Jeff Newman for the record. I thought about that as well, but the question there is, I'm not sure what benefits the program has to meet the users or end users or registrants. I'm not sure directly impacts them, but Kurt, if you could think of ways that it could, I'm not opposed to amending the question.
Okay, anyone else? Kurt, do you have? I see multiple attendees typing. There's a silent space for people to speak. Sarah has put in the revised question in the chat box. Okay, Kurt, Chris, a stable, resilient internet, lower registration costs. Krista says perhaps insight into this will come out of the question. I see Donna is typing. Really, no one wants to speak today. They'll leave me talking to myself. Okay, Donna, I think it should also include applicants, as this is one of the problems we're trying to solve. So, okay. a different recommendation, but that seems a quite reasonable one, since it is applicants that have to deal with all this. Anyone else have a point? It's typing. And Jeff is typing. Still no one wants to talk. Jeff, Kurt, I'm not sure either of those will be directly related to registrants, but yes, to applicants. Krista, I definitely think applicants should be included. Okay, so at this point, recommending that we add applicants to the question and leave it open to discover whether there is any, you know, one that does have a way in which registrants and users are also affected by the question. Certainly don't want to exclude them, but also don't want to just include a whole list if there really isn't a specific concern that someone has in mind. And since no one's putting up their hand to say they have a specific issue as it relates to registrants and users, I'll leave that for now. Any other questions or comments on the WT1 question? If not, I'll move on to Work Track 2. Who do we have from Work Track 2 that would like to talk through? Phil, is that you? I see Michael with his hand up. Michael, please go ahead.
Good morning, Avery. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you fine.
Holy cow, but I can't hear you. Just a second. Let me fix my audio here. Got it. Just give me 2 seconds. Can you hear me now?
I could hear you before, and I can still hear you.
Okay, good. I can hear you better. Okay, so for Working Track 2, we have 3 questions that we've thrown together, and these basically reflect what we have at the current time that we've kind of gone through over at Working Track 2 overall at the current time. The first question deals with the single agreement versus category-based agreement issue. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it along. Is a single agreement still suitable for the needs of subsequent procedures, noting that the 2012 round saw the introduction of TLDs with needs that differ from the standard ICANN model? The idea of different agreements suited to a specific category has seen increased demand. Do we need to consider allowing for category-based agreements, and what is the justification for such? If yes, what ways could we consider a category-based agreement, or how should the single base agreement address the various needs of different categories? So in this question, we've kind of looked at, obviously trying to see whether or not we stick with one single base agreement, or if we do have category-based agreements, what would the justification be for such? I mean, we've already kind of gone down this line a little bit, but we're still looking for more additional feedback. So the objective here is to see community feedback as well, so they can kind of help us drive the discussion. Alarm clock keeps going off. Then the next one is for reserved names. What is a reserved name, and what are the reserved names per the RA? Do any changes need to be made to the reserved names to reflect the changes in recent procedures that allow for the release of such reserved names? So in this one, we have to go back to policy. We need to look exactly what the policy has kind of laid out for reserved names. Overall, what we've already looked at so far, we've seen that what's written in the applicant guidebook versus what was written in policy are very different. So this obviously has a lot of discussion that needs to be done. And I know that what is a reserved name is kind of a very broad question, but allowing us to define that and allowing us to look at the principles or the kind of the background for such allows us to kind of get an idea of how reserved names were first thought of and then look at what has been established today and to kind of compare this and see, well, is it justified? Do we need to make those changes in policy? So hopefully that will give us more thought in that direction. And then the last one COI. In the 2012 round, a continuing operations instrument was required to be submitted in the form of a letter of credit to fund an emergency back-end registry operator. That requirement proved to be difficult for a number of registries to meet. What other options are there to fund the eBro functions? Also, some registries, such as brand TLDs, consider that a continuing operations instrument is not required due to the nature of their TLD. This spans into the background of eBro requirements as well. But would the continuing operations instrument be required for TLDs that would qualify for an exemption to the code of conduct for the RA? So obviously we are looking at, you know, the COI and what do we need in regards to kind of so we're looking at the COI and kind of what do we need to in order to support those funds that occur when an emergency back in transition happens. So in this case, we have kind of looked at the question, you know, is this best in the form of an LOC? What we've originally thought of in the application for each TLD is for the expected DUMs compared to what have actually come to be in result, you know, several years after the first few have actually signed the registry agreement. It's kind of shown that the amount of money, for example, also prepared does not need to be nearly as what we originally thought, but at the same time, Is it sufficient to say that an LOC isn't required? I think nobody's looking to go that far, but still looking to drive the discussion in that area. And for some TLDs, for example, that are not for the overall public benefit or public good, that's not required. That basically third parties that don't have a registration in, is an LLC even, or is a COI even necessary for that? If we can drive the discussion in that area, I believe we'll be able to get a better sight over all this policy. So, are there any suggestions in regards to the overall three questions that we've kind of laid out here?
Okay, this is.
Aubrey, go ahead.
No, I'm just looking now at the questions. So we had a question from Phil. His question, do we need more reserve names, IANA transition, then Rubens, like PPI. Then there was question two, work track two, from Annabeth, saying since it is differences between, I'm having trouble reading, what is that?
RNWG.
Right, RNWG. And what was the result in AGB, especially for geographical names? There is a need to see those two documents in connection. Bill says exactly, Rubens. Rubens, I think only the ICANN community views of PPI as the org managing IANA functions. I'm not sure what this has to do with it, but I'm just reading it into the record. And then Jeff Annabeth, yes, that's one of the differences. Also have IGOs, Red Cross, IOC, et cetera. Susan, I see your hand up, please.
Hi, yes, Susan Payne for the record. Yes, it's a sort of a request for clarification, really, and a comment just in relation to the reserve names question. On our last call, we were talking somewhat about both levels, so at the top level and at the second level. And it was a very preliminary discussion that we were having. But for the purposes of this question, I think we ought to be clear whether we're talking about reserve names at the top level or at the second level. It's possible we could talk about both, but I think it would be helpful for us if we're going to do that to structure the question so that we don't end up with a very confused conversation with people misunderstanding what they're talking about.
That's a very good suggestion, Susan, and I am so sorry. I will make sure to put clarification at the beginning of that question.
Okay, thank you. I saw a hand from Alexander for a second, but it went away. Any other comments? And I saw a comment from Karen saying, I could barely be heard. I've raised the volume on the microphone, so hopefully I can be heard a little better. But please let me know in the chat if I can't be. Any other comments on the WorkTrack 2 questions?
Phil says that we would appreciate feedback from applicants' experience problems in regards to the COI LSC question. But that's just a wish, not exactly a commentary in the overall structuring of the question.
So, yeah, and we have Jeff, who also wrote that we have two-character, single-character, IDNs. There's Annabeth, who completely agrees with Susan. Phil, COI/LLC, we would appreciate feedback. Yeah, we already got that. Sorry. And then Annabeth on discussion on two letters on first level. That was the only thing so far has agreed in the cross-community working group on country and territory names. So, okay. So any other comments on that? So it looks like we'll have a fairly full discussion in that area.
Yeah, I think we can move on. Thanks, Aubrey.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now moving on to WorkTrack 3. I can hear myself echoing, so I'd like to go to Karen on this one. I've seen that you're here, Karen, so please, I see your hand. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Hi, this is Karen Day for the record. Can you hear me? I just had to switch out of the Adobe room to my cell phone. For WorkTrack 3, the two issues that we wanted to, at this stage, get a broader community-level input on are, as alluded to earlier by Jeff, the concept of rounds versus continuous application period. In respect to how that is going to impact one of our work areas, which is string contention, and just have a discussion based on where we think we're going to go with that, if we have a continuous first-come, first-serve period, as it were. Obviously, we wouldn't see some of the contention sets that we saw last time, and have a discussion about which needs to drive which. Does the impact that it would have on objections and contention sets need to drive or play into what kind of structure we go in for subsequent procedures, or do we want to make that decision and then let that decision flow down to the WorkTrack 3 area of string contentions. So that is what point number one is. I realize my questions aren't quite as fleshed out in writing as my colleagues are, but I'll get those cleaned up. And the second point, question for us to talk about at a community level is, the need for an independent objector in future application processes. Talk about what the original goals were. Were they met? Were they not met? Do we need an independent objector in this process? If so, what do we need that to look like going forward? So those are the two areas for WorkTrack 3 that we'd like to get discussion on and hard or bad. Anybody have any questions, comments?
Like to open up the floor. Any comments, questions? I see no hands. I see Susan is typing, but I don't know if she's typing on this issue or another issue. Because we did have one comment based on the previous questions, which was a question to Annabeth on when we would get a CCWG on country and territory names report. And Annabeth says one was planned for Hyderabad. I'm wondering if we'll have that before our meeting. Is that something that'll come after our meeting? Or is that something that perhaps we can get a brief report on during this part of the discussion if the report is not out yet? So, Annabeth, I've sort of fed back a question to you. And Susan wrote, would it be possible to get a copy of the proposed questions in advance of the meeting, or could you point me to where they are posted, please? Some of us, we want to gather input from colleagues who may not be there. I think that shortly after this meeting, we'll be able to get the agenda out, including the questions, and that should be a good basis. And I'm assuming it'll be posted. I don't know if anyone on staff wants to say where it'll be posted, but it'll be posted, and where it's posted can also be sent to the list. So I think the answer to that is yes. And yes, I assumed that was a general comment. So thanks. Okay, any other comments on Work Track 3? I'd like to also mention in regard to Work Track 3, as people know, we had lost one of our co-leaders on that due to other work requirements. Robin Gross has been recruited into the slot and is going through, it was just announced on the list, and just making sure that the subteam, the work track team is comfortable with it, but we're seeing first signs that they are, so I'm really happy that there is now a co-lead on Work Track 3 going into Hyderabad. So thank you. Thank you, Robin, and thank you, Karen, for carrying it alone while we were doing this search and recruitment. Thanks. Thanks to both. I see clapping hands. Okay, and now I'm seeing no questions on Work Track 3. You're having plenty of time. Oh, wait a second. There's something in the Annabeth on the question about CCWG on the names. We still have discussions on this, and Bart is summing up the last discussions to be presented in Hyderabad. As you know, we have two co-chairs from GNSO who can give you details. Who are the co-chairs from GNSO?
Heather and Colleen.
Because I don't know who they are. Huh? Heather and Carla.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Sorry that I didn't know. So hopefully one of them will be there if Annabeth isn't there or something, so that we can get an update on that. Thank you. And Steve Chan says a progress report of sorts is being prepared for ICANN 57 discussions. So it sounds like we should have at least a bunch of information to go on for our conversations, and I appreciate that. And Annabeth says she will try to make the meeting in Hyderabad on Thursday, arriving in the morning. So after a long flight, yes, it's understandable. And would appreciate it if you do, but we'll understand if you can't. Okay, seeing no questions and no more writing, we'll move to Work Track 4. And is it Rubens or Cheryl?
It's Rubens.
Who's going to
It's Rubens. He got the short straw.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Rubens, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Avery. Rubens Q here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Avril. In Work Track 4, we have been working and continue working in Hyderabad towards making the question that we will be sending to some consultants that were involved in the application process, including Jazz advisors, and questions that we will be making as community consultations to other stakeholder groups and other ICANN advisory bodies. What we have on the screen are three of the topics that we have been looking into, asking both consultants and the community, and in fact ourselves. Most of the questions are actually the policy questions that we need to answer. So although we are thinking this as an outreach effort, this is actually a consensus building effort towards the policy that we will be proposing in the end. So that we've been working. We have a question from Jeff. For number one, do we mean the evaluation process as opposed to application process? Yes, Jeff. Jeff, it should be the evaluation process in the application process, in how information was presented to evaluators and then evaluated. So although it's not the application submission itself, is more of the evaluation submission, the evaluation process. And that we had for us, unless someone has a question. With Curtis typing, so he seems to have a question.
Thank you. I see you writing, and people are welcome to raise their hands to speak. Okay. No, I see that Kurt has stopped writing. So I guess we have no questions on this either. Or no further questions, actually no questions other than the one Jeff asked. So basically that brings us to the end. Okay, yes, Jeff, please.
Jeff? Sorry, this is Jeff Newman. It takes me a while to get off of I just wanted to throw a general question out there, you know, in the very unlikely circumstance that we don't have a very talkative audience, we have time. Can anyone think of some backup questions? And not that you have to submit that now, but to the extent you have it in the next 48 hours or so, you could think of something we can ask as a backup. We would appreciate it. I'm going to try to think of some for as well, just to have kind of on the back burner in case nobody talks. We shouldn't run out of questions. So I see Donna's got her hand raised, so I'll step off.
Please, Donna.
Thanks, Avery. Donna Austin, one of the things that struck me about the Work Track 2 questions is that they're talking about a registry agreement for categories. I know we had some discussion around categories with the in the overall overarching issues, and I wonder whether that's something that we could have as a backup if we have time in Hyderabad to have maybe a bit more discussion around categories. Thanks.
Thank you. That's a good point, and that's similar, I think, to the point when I had brought up at the beginning whether we were going to get into details on any of the CC1. I think when it comes time to talk about categories in these questions, we can also sort of take a time out to look at the CC1 discussion and open that discussion up in that space. Or do you think it should be opened up in a separate space sort of later at the end? But I was thinking it may make sense to talk about it there. I'm not sure. So, Jeff, you were the one who suggested that in terms of to have or not have rounds was something that we could allude to in the appropriate track. Would you agree that that's the reasonable way to handle categories also? I got, let's see, we got good point, Kurt, but he was talking about a Kurt point, not Donna's point. So Kurt's point was if you're going to ask, if you're going to ask an open-ended question such as number one, you should create some rules about participating in order to manage the discussion, and i.e. present your idea and why the change should be made. We will compile all the suggestions for discussion by the group. Okay, seems a good suggestion, as said, several people said, though. Phil said, absolutely, Donna. Jeff said, yes, and then said, at Avery, yes. So I'm assuming that's answering that we'll talk a little bit about categories in that space. Michael, floor is yours.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of echo your point, Avery, in saying that I don't think we could really have this discussion overall without referring to the registry agreement in the first place. So I think moving this topic towards working track two might be a better option, but that's just my two cents. Thank you.
Let me unmute myself. Okay. Okay, thank you. So I think that covers that. I see a big white X on a red background next to your name, Michael. What are you disagreeing with? Okay, your hand is up again. Yes, please, Michael.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to change the little man with the hand, so I keep pushing the wrong button. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing some disagreement. So that's basically our agenda. I suggest also that we do, like every agenda, leave a little time for any other business if we get there, for any questions that did develop during the discussion that didn't fit into the flow. So it's quite possible that we will have people that ask us questions during the session, especially people that have not been involved in the working group or in any of the work tracks. So we may find that that questions come up that we can explore under any other business. So I'll ask that be added, and that's, of course, the place we can handle any other questions that people come up with in the next couple of days. Though in person, with people talking, I really don't expect us to have a lot of silence, but it does seem to be becoming a habit on Adobe Connect of late that a lot of people prefer to type and not talk, and it's something that I've certainly been guilty of in other groups, so I have no comment on it. Yes, Steve says that staff can maintain a parking lot, and so that's a good thing to have in any other business. That way, if we're going through a discussion and points come up that are sort of tangents, we have a suggestion method to just say, can we put that on the parking lot and discuss it towards the end. And we'll leave a little bit of time open, and as we see the parking lot develop, we can adjust timings. So anything else people would like to bring up about the Hyderabad meeting and the agenda at this point? It is what we have on the agenda for today. So if there's nothing else, we will end the meeting early, but I do not want to cut discussion. So does anybody have any other comments on the agenda or any other business that they want to bring up for this meeting at this point? I see nobody. Okay. This being the third meeting of the day that I've chaired, I'm more than happy to have the meeting be done. So only the first one in ITAN. The two others were in other groupings, but still. In which case, I think I've talked on long enough, and no hands have come up, and no writing. So I thank you all. To those that are traveling, I wish you good travels. though we do still have some sub-team meetings, work track meetings going on before we travel. But I wish everybody good traveling and good remote participation for those who aren't traveling. And with that, being no other requests for the floor, I thank you and the meeting is ended.
Thank you so much, Aubrey. Again, the meeting has been adjourned. Aubrey, if you could please disconnect the recording lines. Have a great day, everyone.